for the last several weeks, we've had a lot of good news around here. In fact, it seems like just about the last several weeks, we've either had someone be baptized or someone decide they want to place their membership with us. And that's a great thing. And so this week, we're going to continue the streak. He's been visiting with us for quite some time. And a lot of you already know this great man of God. But last week, he told me to make it official this week that he wanted to place his membership with us and be a part of the Azalea City Church of Christ. And that means we're going to do that today. We're going to get to know him better. And we're also going to get him involved with our work here. We're excited about this. But Brother T.L. Coxwell, he's back here to my left. You're right. He's there. He's raising his hand. So welcome, Brother T.L. Coxwell, to the Azalea City Church of Christ. And then make sure that you get to know him even better. Brother T.L., welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part. We have been talking about the last couple weeks, Wednesday nights included, renewed thanks. We started that series last Sunday. It is the month of Thanksgiving, right? It is the month that we will celebrate that holiday. And I love this holiday more than others, even because to me it reminds us of who we are as Christians. And I'm not talking about, I know the United States of America has a day set aside, but remember we read last week that God created us so that we would be thankful people. You know, just like your children and my children, we love them no matter what. But we really appreciate when they are grateful for what we've done for them. It means a lot when they say thank you, when they act thankful, when they live thankfully. Because that just shows that, hey, they appreciate what we've done for them, the sacrifices we make, the love that we have. And God is the exact same way. God has done so much for us. He's created everything in this universe, not for us, for Him. We read that again last week as well. But it reminds us that what we have, we're to be stewards of. And we're to do it to bring in all that we do and all that we say, we are to bring glory to God. So today, I want to continue, and I really want to spell it out for you. You ever hear somebody say that sometimes? Hey, man, quit beating around the bush, just spell it out. Well, today, we're literally going to spell out the word thanks in our sermon. And that means we got a lot of points to cover. And you're sitting there thinking, oh, no, but no, it's going to be fine. We're going to do well. So hopefully you'll take notes today and you'll remember this every time you see the word thanks as we get into this sermon. But I want to start you where I left you off Wednesday night in the book of Colossians. And listen to these great words from the Apostle Paul. He says here, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." What happens when we sing? We sing beautifully today. You are doing a great job. Even though we've got people scattered about and we've got people out of town and everything, Steve is able to direct our minds in song. And what did we do today? In one body, in unison, we used our voices. We used what God has given us and we praised God. Why? Because we love Him and He's worthy of it. And so why do we do that? We do it because we're living thankfully. And he goes on to say in verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." We are to be one. We're to be one body and we are to be unified. And what we do when we're unified together is show our appreciation to God. You know, it means a lot when someone shows appreciation to us, just like we talked about with our parents or being parents. It means a lot that people want to say thank you when you do something nice for them. We don't do it for the thank yous. We do it because we love them and we serve them and we do what God wants us to do. But when somebody returns and says thank you, it means a lot. It meant a lot to Jesus Christ, didn't it? You remember when He healed those 10 lepers like we talked about? One came back and was very appreciative, bowed down, worshipped Him. "Thank you, Jesus, for doing this. Thank you, Master, for doing this for me." He asked the question, remember, and it's a haunting question, "But where are the other nine?" Folks, I do not want to be the other nine. I do not want to be someone who Jesus looks at every day and says, Terry, why are you not thankful? We talked about this in class some this morning today in a roundabout way. And one thing that was brought up, a very excellent point brought up by someone in the class, was sometimes we just want to thank God for the gift. But we got to get our focus off the gift and get it to the giver. Because sometimes there are things in life that He says no to, right? He says no to some prayers that we pray. And maybe we get upset and we're like, well, if God would have just done this for me or what have you. But then when we can step back away from that mentality, step back away from a worldly thought and a worldly view on life, and we look at it from a Christian viewpoint, then we can say, hey, maybe that was best for me that God said no. You see, and that's when we put the focus on the giver, not on the gift. And so today, as we strive to be thankful brothers and sisters in Christ, thankful Christians, I want us to think about this word and begin with the word, the letter T. In the letter T, we're going to let today stand for trust God. You see the picture there? That's a child jumping off to their father, I would assume. We've been there, right, dads? We've been there, moms. You know, maybe it's in a swimming pool, or maybe it's off the top step here at the church building, whatever it is. But, you know, we're like, hey, just jump and I'll catch you. And that's, they jump. But why? Because we're going to catch them. And they know that and they trust that. And they have all the confidence in the world. And you know, when we are trustworthy people and when we are trustful people, guess what? It puts our attention on God Almighty. And let me try to illustrate that for you. In Genesis, you remember the story of Abraham, right? Genesis chapter 22, we learn there that Abraham has a son. You remember that son? He has a son named Ishmael, but that's not the son that he promised through Sarah. And ultimately, they have Isaac. Well, when Isaac is a lad, really, you know, he goes and he tells him, hey, Abraham, I know you love this son, but I told you all nations through him are going to be blessed. But guess what I need you to do? I need you to go and sacrifice him. Now, I want you to know, those of you who may hear that story and be like, whoa, that doesn't sound, maybe you've never heard that story before. I want you to know that God didn't intend for Abraham really to kill Isaac. He was going to provide the whole time, but he was testing him. Do you trust me? But Abraham does. And here's the way Abraham's mindset works. And this is the mindset I want us to get out of this point. Is he takes Isaac, and when Isaac and he gather all the sticks up and they gather everything for the altar and to make the sacrifice, Isaac is smart enough, right? He's old enough to start putting two and two together. And he says, hey, Father, we have the sticks, we have the rope, we have everything we need, but where's the sacrifice? Maybe he's sweating a little bit, I don't know. But it was a great question, right? But Abraham's answer gives you the mindset of Abraham, which ought to be our mindset today. He said, son, don't worry, God will provide. And he told those guys that he was with, those servants that they were with, he said, hey, the lad and I will go over there and worship and we will come back. You see, that type of trust drew his attention to God and he lived his life thankfully. How much did he thank God when that ram was in the thicket? How much are we thanking God? How much do we trust God? Do you trust God today that He is going to be there for you and that He will provide? If you trust Him that much and you're living your life that much, then every single day we need to thank God for providing. We need to thank God for being there when we fall and to keep us from falling. I hope today that we have that type of trust. I hope today that if we were in a situation where we didn't know, we can't do it on our own, we recognize that, but we didn't know what the future holds. We don't know where the money's going to come, where the sacrifice, if you will, is going to come, where He's going to provide from, but we're going to just sit back, God, and we're going to trust You. You see, that's part of being thankful. Trusting in the One who can provide and will provide it all. The H in the letter, or in the word thanks, should stand for hope. And that hope is in heaven. You see, hope changes the game. Hope changes the game. Why do you do what you do? You know, you get up, those of you who are still working, you go to bed tonight, you get up tomorrow, and you go to work. Why? Because there is trust and there is hope that there will be a paycheck when payday comes, right? That you are not doing that for free. And you expect to be paid and you hope to be paid. Well, guess what? As Christians, we do what we do because of hope, because of trust. Hope changes everything. I want you to think about Genesis again, Noah, in Genesis chapter 6. Why did he build the ark? Why did he do it? That, you think that was an easy task? Those of you who've been to the ark, you know how big that, I have not been, I've just seen your pictures. You know how big that boat is that the guy built in Kentucky, right? He built it to scale. Okay, I don't know how long it took that guy, probably could look that up, but I would imagine it took a long time with all the technology that we have today. Some say it took Noah anywhere from 75 to 90 to 100. I've heard all kinds of numbers, 120 years. I don't know. But however long it took a long time to build a vessel that big. The whole time he's telling people, hey, you need to get on this boat because it's going to rain. And it's going to rain so much that your place is going to be washed away. Your lives are going to be taken if you're not on this boat. And you know what they did? They filed in a big line, right, to get on the boat. Uh-uh. That's not what they did. They ridiculed him. What do you mean, you crazy man? This is the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Why would Noah do that? Why would he go through the sweat, the blood, the tears, I'm sure? Why would he go through the ridicule? Why would he go through the frustration? Was it because he just trusted God? Yes. But there's another reason, because he hoped to be saved from the flood. You know what he did when he got off the ark? The first thing he did was set up an altar and worshiped. Why did he do that? Because he'd been spared from death. He'd been spared from drowning. He'd been spared from losing his life. Today, there is a hope for you and for me as well. In Genesis 8, this is how it reads, verse 20. Noah built an altar to the Lord, took of every clean animal, every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living creature or every living thing as I have done. Today, there is an antitype which now saves us, right? We studied that a few weeks ago. That is baptism. Once we are baptized into Christ, we get buried in water. It washes our sins away. But you know what it does? It puts us in the vessel that saves us. And that vessel is Jesus Christ. Just like the ark is the vessel that saved Noah and his family, Jesus Christ is the vessel that saves us today. We wash away the sins. We contact the blood. He puts us in the ark, if you will. And you know what that brings? That brings hope. So what should we do no matter what circumstances you face in life today? Number one, if you haven't been baptized into Jesus Christ, you better do it. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. We do have right now. But if you're not baptized into Christ, do it. That should be number one on your list. But if you have been baptized, guess what we ought to do? If we're added to the kingdom, if we're washed in the blood, I have hope. So no matter life circumstances, I have every reason to be thankful. No matter what anybody does to me, no matter what the world does, no matter what the government does, no matter what the IRS does, I have salvation. And that changes the game. But thirdly, let's look at the A. The A in thanks, it reminds us to abide in Him. Abide in Him. Why is that so important? It's important because if I'm going to live a life of thanksgiving, I will remember where safety really is. Do you remember the psalmist when he talks about how safety is under the wings of God? You know, I've told this story before, and I'll tell it again here. Some of the fires like that's been happening in California happened some time ago, and a story came out of it that a firefighter was kind of combing through the area, and things were just burned up, and he was just walking the area and just looking at the damage and maybe just seeing if there was anything else on fire, and he come across really a sad scene. It was a bird who right there, just the flames just engulfed and it burned and petrified that bird. Well, the firefighter, you know, it was a sad scene to him. He loved animals. He loved nature. And so he was just going to kind of knock it over so others wouldn't walk up and see that sad scene. And he knocks it over and out runs three little bitty baby birds. You see, what had happened is that mama bird and all the flames had taken and wrapped those children of hers up, those babies up, those chicks up, and put them under her wings. And she endured the flame so that they could be saved. And it reminds me today that when we abide in Him, He endured the flames. He put us under His wings. And when I think about abiding in Jesus Christ, abiding in God, abiding in His Spirit, when I do what I am supposed to do and I live every day for God, there's safety in God. And that reminds me to be thankful. You see, trust reminds me to be thankful. Hope reminds me to be thankful. Abiding in Him reminds me. Ethan came and read to us the first three verses, at least, of Psalm 23. What a beautiful psalm. We know it, right? We've heard it. We've memorized it. But it reminds us that the Lord is our shepherd. And we don't have to want for anything else. You know, He doesn't make us lie down in briars and thickets. We lie down in green pastures. You know, and we don't walk around swamp water and bad water. And, you know, we walk beside the still waters. They're not rough. They're not evil. You know, He's got a rod and He's got a staff and He's going to ward off the enemy. And He's going to say, reach out and save us when we're in trouble. And it reminds us, if I abide in God, there's nothing else I will ever need. You see, David, who penned that psalm, was the giant slayer. He was the man after God's own heart. He was the one who understood that God had His best interest. Do we realize that today? You see, John 15, we were reminded that Christ is the true vine. You remember that great passage of Scripture? You think about today, as Jimmy pointed out, as we partook of the cup, His blood, right, of the new covenant, that blood that washes away our sins. Well, today, in the representation of that blood that we remember that we are drinking, we remember we drank from grape juice, fruit from the vine. Well, guess what? If we're drinking that blood and we're washed in that blood, we are doing exactly what we did today. We're drinking from His vine. That's what it's about, living in God. He grafted us in. He took us in. And now we're part of Him. And for that, we ought to be thankful. Fourthly, I should say, the end in the word thanks reminds us that we should have no other gods. No other gods. I need to read to you from Deuteronomy 8. It's on the screen there, verses 11 through 20. I want you to listen to these words as we read through this. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments. That's strong right there. His judgments, His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full. This is very important, folks, even today, in this day and time that we live in. Lest, do not forget what the Lord has done for you. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you and out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you or do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish as the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Folks, I think we need to read that scripture in the church more times than I just read it just now. This is where it all boils down to. This is rubber meets the road, okay? He's telling Israel, Moses is telling Israel there, that do not forget the Lord. Don't forget His commandments, His statutes, anything like that. You obey them, you seek them, you do what He tells you to do. Do not forget Him, because there's going to come a day when you're full, your bellies aren't hungry anymore. You've got plenty of herd, you've got plenty of money, you've got plenty of house, you got plenty of blessings and everything else. And then what happens if you forget? You're going to put some other God before Him. And I'm afraid that's happening in the church today. I'm afraid that sometimes we go through the motions because we know we're supposed to do this, but at the end of the day, we've got gods before God. And the way we can illustrate that some ways is why do we not study our Bibles the way we should? You think about that. Why are we not in the book the way we should? Oh, well, it's this and it's that and it's this and it's that. No, we've gotten fat. We've gotten lazy. And we've forgotten what's in the stalls is because of God. And we are here today because of God. And we have now made other things more important than God. How much time are you spending on your hobbies? How much time are you spending on the internet? How much time are you spending with your children? Again, all those things in themselves are not bad. But when we allow things and stuff and hobbies and junk, when it all comes down to it, to get in the way, guess what? We've gotten fat. And we've gotten spoiled. And we've allowed other gods to come in. So guess what happens? I'm not a thankful person anymore. Oh yeah, I might say thank you God for all that you've done and it becomes routine, but I'm not living thankfully. Stuff doesn't matter at the end of the day. Hobbies do not matter at the end of the day. Again, all those things are important. We all need hobbies. We all need, we all have more than we should. But at the end of the day, these type things that I'm giving so much time and energy to when I could give it to God, that's what really matters. I want you to know, I'm going to make a commitment to you for the rest of this year and the rest of my life, that the things that I do for, that I do outside of my responsibilities, I will always strive to do to help the kingdom grow. Whatever I'm going to be involved in, whatever you're going to be involved in. Again, that doesn't mean we won't have hot, but everything we do, let's make that commitment that everything I do is going to point back to the cross. Hey, and that can be in whatever we do, right? But if I'm going to involve myself in something, let's involve it to make sure that we don't put any other gods before the God. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said it this way, no one can serve two masters. He'll either hate the one or love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money or mammon or riches or whatever word you put there that all means the same. When something takes the place of God in our lives, we lose gratitude. Illustrate that with your children. I have to be careful because I have one of mine here, so I don't want her to think I'm talking about her. But sometimes we do and we do and we do and we do and we give and we give and we give and we give. And then there's that one thing that they want that they really, 10 minutes or days from then, won't think about, right? They're like, can I have this? And we say no, right? We say no. Maybe there's a lot of reasons. Fill in the blank. Whatever your reason is, you put it there. And you know what they do? They go and they pout. they feel bad about it. You know why? Because we've gotten so full. They want something else, and we hear the word no, and they lose gratitude. It's the same thing with us as Christians. We want God answers, and then we want something else. We lose gratitude, and then we start putting things above Him. The Israelites did it. They said, hey, we're better off in slavery. How dumb was that? But they said it. You see, we got to get rid of the little g's to show proper gratitude to our big G God. The K this morning goes hand in hand with that. If I'm going to be thankful to God, if I'm going to live a life of thanksgiving to God, I need to keep Him first. Keep Him first. I don't know why. Hey church, you expect me to teach the truth in love, right? The elders hold me to that. God, number one, holds me to that. The elders, you as a church. So I'm just going to say this, okay? I have no idea why we have such a big drop-off between Sunday school and worship. Okay? I get that some people struggle. Some people's health, whatever. I get, hey, I'm not talking about those. That there's legitimate reasons. But why? And this comes up in our Bible class amongst the Roadrunners age group, okay? Why do we have... And listen, I'm glad we have the people that come, and I'm glad of that. But why do we not get up just an hour earlier and come to Sunday school? Do you realize, I believe, that we have the greatest teachers in the church right here at this church? I haven't been in George's class this time, but I know he's doing a great job. David Barnes is doing a great job heading up teachers. And listen, there's a long list of guys. You know, one-to-one's got teachers. Roadrunners, we're having teachers. Teenagers have teachers. Why do we have to beg for teachers for Outdoor Bible? Listen, I just think it's time to reflect. Let's spend the month, or at least the day, we have the day, thinking about what I have to be thankful for. You know, Moses tried to get out of it too. I don't speak well. I don't know what to tell them. I don't know if they'll believe me. All excuse after excuse, when at the end of the day, he didn't want to go. I think at the end of the day, if we really ask ourselves why I'm not here, it's because I really don't want to be here. You know what that reflects, though? That reflects priorities. Tomorrow, you have to be up earlier than today. Tomorrow, you have to go to a place where people won't love you. Chances are you won't be able to talk about God. Chances are you won't be able to do the things that we can. You worship Him openly like we're doing. But today we can. Why do we have people that chose other things? I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's a heart problem. It's a priority issue. And if I'm not careful, it'll be a thankful issue. Israel's the greatest illustration of that, folks. When they didn't put God where He needed to be, they lost sight of the purpose. The purpose, the focus has to be God. Not things, not stuff, not hobbies, not work, not kids' sporting events, not kids' dances, not all. It's got to be God. And we've got to examine ourselves. Seek God first. Love God first. He is the more excellent way. He is the Creator, and He is the giver of all blessings. But we got to end with the letter S. And it all comes full circle. Because when I trust Him, I have hope in Him, I abide in Him, I have no other gods before Him, I keep Him first. That means I'm going to be busy serving Him. In John 13, Jesus Christ illustrates the servanthood. You remember Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a what? Bondservant. Coming in the likeness of man, He humbled Himself, came obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Okay, that mindset, that attitude, that awareness today, it means this, that I am here to serve God. And Jesus illustrated that He is here to serve others when He took and He got the towel, He girded Himself, and He washed those disciples' feet. Peter's like, "Oh no, you're Jesus Christ. You're the Messiah. You're Lord. You're not washing my feet." He said, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, then you don't have any part with me." Well, then Peter's like, "Well, wash my whole body then, right?" He was confused, and maybe sometimes we are too. We've got to be washed by Jesus. But once we are washed by Jesus, we've got to serve. There are a lot of ways to serve. Okay? There are a lot of ways to serve. A lot of ways to serve. But we've got to serve. That means we've got to be active in the kingdom. You see, the way I like to think about it is the prodigal son. In Luke 15, Jesus tells a parable about three lost things. Remember, there's a lost sheep, a lost coin, and there's a lost son. And what did he do? He lost perspective. He forgot everything that he had been taught coming up. He trusted his father was going to, and he hoped he's going to give him an inheritance, right? He trusted he's going to give it to him. He hoped. But he didn't want to abide with him anymore. He certainly was going to put other gods ahead of him. He wasn't going to keep God first. And he wasn't going to serve. He was going to waste. And so the father does go ahead and gives him his inheritance, and he goes and he wastes it on worldly, unrighteous, sinful living, okay? Maybe he just went out and he just partied it all up. And he had friends, man, his money was flowing, everything, all the drink, all the girls, all the stuff you want. Man, you got friends, but when that runs out, they're gone. Where were those friends? They weren't friends, they were leeches. And once the money was gone, he didn't know what else to do. So he goes and he joins the country, becomes a citizen, and he begs for work. And the guy says, "Oh yeah, I'll give you work. See that pig farm out there? Go slop those hogs. Here's the slop, you feed them." Well, he's doing that and he's working and he is so hungry. He looks down at pig slop and he's with pigs, these unclean animals, right? He's with these pigs and he's like, "I just want to eat. I'm so hungry." But something happens in the pig pen. The Bible says he came to himself. And he got to thinking. He's like, "I'm going home. I'm going to go home. And I'm going to beg my dad to give me my bedroom back? No. To give me my king-size bed back? No. To give me a seat back at the table? No." He said, "I'm going home and begging my father to make me a servant." And that's exactly what he did. But his father didn't hear it. In fact, he killed the fatted calf. He put a ring on his finger, new sandals on his feet. And he said, "My son, who was lost, is now found. My son who was dead is now alive." Do you want to be great? Do you want to be thankful? Do you want to be righteous? Then we've got to come to ourselves. And we've got to serve. Trust. Hope. Abide. No other gods. Keep God first. Serve Him. Come to yourselves today. Come to the cross. And let's be thankful as together we stand and sing.